It's time for Mark Lichtenfeld's Oxford Club Radio, the hardest-hitting half hour about you and your money. And now, here's Mark Lichtenfeld.
Welcome to Mark Lichtenfeld, Oxford Club Radio. I'm Mark Lichtenfeld. We have a fantastic show today. A guest that I am so excited about. His name is Manuel Asensio. He's the author of a book called Sold Short, Uncovering Deception in the Markets. But that book is 15 years old. But I just kind of discovered it. And Manuel is a pioneer in what's known as activist short selling. So he specializes in shorting the market, or shorting specific stocks, I should say, and basically getting that information out to the public, why he's short. So there are some shorts out there, fund managers who or traders who specialize in going short, but they keep their reasons to themselves. And then there are people like Manuel, like you might remember Andrew Left from Cintron Research, who exposed Valiant. Those kinds of people are known as activist short sellers, where they get short because they see a fraud or they see a real problem with the company, and then they let the public know. They're certainly talking their book, no doubt about it, but they are exposing companies, and there are fraudulent companies out there, unfortunately, and they are trying to expose those companies as well. Make a profit while they're doing it, but let the public know. So we're going to talk with Manuel in a little bit about his latest target for a company that he believes is fraudulent. So you'll want to stick around for that. I'm also going to get into shorts a little bit. Which sounds kind of funny the way I just said that, but I'm going to get into the topic of shorts. And if you're unfamiliar with how it works and kind of what you need to know about shorting a stock, so we'll do that as well. And we're also going to discuss the survey that we conducted last week. You might remember, if you listened to the show, I asked you guys to participate in a survey because the stock market's at record highs, but bond market is at record low yields. So which one is correct in telling us where the economy is going? Because markets are usually forward-looking indicators. So usually stock market, if the stock market's higher, bond yields are higher. And this time we're getting a real kind of dichotomy there. They're really going their separate ways. So we're going to find out which market you think is the real reflection of the economy. What else? If you want to get in touch with me, you want to email me, the way to do it is go to oxfordclubradio.com, click on contact, and shoot me an email with your questions and comments and feedback. You can also leave comments here on the oxfordclubradio.com site right under the episode you're listening to. Give us a review on iTunes if you would, if you like us. Give us the 5 stars and say something nice about us. It really helps us out. And follow me on Twitter at Stocks and Boxing. Stocks, letter N, like Nancy, boxing. All right, so got all that housekeeping out of the way. Let's talk about shorts and short selling. It's something that a lot of people don't know a whole lot about. They've heard it. Short sellers kind of have this reputation of being, I don't want to say evil, but almost anti-American in that they're rooting for stocks to go down. And typically a short seller, that's not the case at all. They just see a stock as either fraudulent, overvalued, that there are problems that the market doesn't see. It's the same as if you bought a beat up stock and you believe the market doesn't appreciate the company's potential or its turnaround story. A short is just the opposite, that the market is overvaluing a stock, or that it's not recognizing the problems, or that a fraud has not been uncovered. Or it could simply be for technical reasons. You're looking at a chart. It's, let's say, a head and shoulders pattern, which is a bearish pattern. So you short the stock. Now, what does it mean to short a stock? It's a very interesting concept. You buy a stock, obviously. You buy it. You pay for it. The stock goes into your account. And then you hope it goes up. And if it does, or whether it does or does not, when you're ready to sell it, you sell the stock and you collect the money. Shorting is different. It's the opposite of that. You're selling a stock first before you've bought it. So when you buy a stock, you want to buy low, sell high. When you're shorting a stock, you want to sell high, buy low. So how do you do that? Well, first you have to be cleared by your broker to do it. It's generally not too difficult to do it. But when you sell a stock, your broker goes into the marketplace and borrows stock for you to sell, because you can't sell something you don't own. So the broker goes into the market and borrows it for you and then allows you to sell it. You get the money in your account, and then at some point in the future, you're going to have to, it's called cover that short, or buy the stock. Now you hope that the stock will be lower, and you buy it lower, the money will come out of your account. So let's say you shorted 100 shares of a $20 stock that would cost you $2,000. You get the $2,000, you bought it back 6 months later for $10, you'd pay $1,000, and the $1,000 profit would be yours to keep. So it's really that simple. There's some charges involved, some fees, borrowing costs, things like that. So you want to talk to your broker. It's generally not prohibitively expensive. Also, not every stock can be shorted. Not every stock can be borrowed. Some, you know, for example, penny stocks are difficult to borrow. Stocks that are already heavily shorted are difficult to borrow. But that's all stuff that your broker handles. You don't have to go out into the marketplace and find those and find the borrow. Your broker will do that, and they'll just come back to you and say, there's no borrow on the stock, you can't short it. But most cases, especially large cap stocks, if you're looking to short, you know, common names, it's not that difficult. And real quick, before we get to Manuel, there is a concept known as a short squeeze. It's a term you've probably heard. A short squeeze is when there are a lot of shorts in the stock. A lot of the shares have been shorted. And when a stock goes up, very often the people who are short are going to cover their position because they don't want to lose any more money, right? If you are short a stock and it goes up, you're losing money. So they'll buy the stock to cover. Now, when they buy the stock, that adds more demand, because you're buying the stock, so there's more demand for the shares on a stock that's already going up. So that makes the stock go up even more, which squeezes the shorts, the existing shorts, even more. So more shorts buy the stock, and the stock can really run up if it's a heavily shorted stock, particularly one that doesn't typically trade a lot of volume. That's called a short squeeze, and when a short squeeze happens, you can see really explosive moves on a stock. So it's something you want to be careful of if you're shorting a stock that has a lot of shorts in it, and you find that by finding the short interest. And on Yahoo Finance, you go to Key Statistics on the stock that you're interested in, and it'll tell you the percentage of the float that is short. Generally speaking, anything above 10% of the float is a decent number of shorts. That means there's a lot of shorts in there. Anything over 20% means it's really a lot of short activity. So that's a real brief primer on shorts. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to a master of shorting and hear about the stock that he thinks is a fraud. Coming up in a bit, this is Mark Lichtenfeld, Oxford Club Radio. Stay with us.
Today, it's hard to tell if this economy is coming or going. Regardless, I want my money going in the direction I choose. If that's your stance as well, then you'll want to know how our sponsor, EverBank, can help keep your money thriving just the way you want. Is growing your money a priority? EverBank is committed to a yield pledge promise to pay high yields on your checking, money market, and CD balances. Looking to diversify? EverBank ingeniously developed accessible ways to spread your money around the world into foreign currencies and even non-FDIC-insured metals. And when it comes to your wealth, they bring a highly experienced and global perspective to help you manage it. EverBank's financial philosophy flies in the face of the status quo. They believe your money's performance should not be determined by today's economic circumstances, but by the drive to rise above them and create opportunities that favor your objectives. If that excites you like it does me, call 855-278-8614 to find out what they can do for you. That's 855-278-8614. Call them today. EverBank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender.
And now, back to Mark Lichtenfeld's Oxford Club Radio.
Money must be funny in the rich man's world. Money.
Welcome back to Mark Lichtenfeld's Oxford Club Radio. I am Mark Lichtenfeld. So excited for my next guest. I recently read his book, Sold Short, Uncovering Deceptions in the Markets. And as soon as I was, a quarter of the way through the book, I said, I have to get this guy on my show. He's a pioneer of activist short selling. Manuel Asensio from Asensio.com. Manuel, thank you so much for joining us. First of all, great job on the book. I know it was written a long time ago, in 2001, but it really is such an excellent book, and I encourage everybody to read it who's interested in short selling and especially discovering fraud in companies. It was really a terrific book. So I'm excited that you're here because you have a new target right now. If you go to Asensio.com, our listeners can see everything that you've written so far on a company called Eros International. They distribute films and content, Indian films and content around the world. And you're alleging that there's some real fraudulent activity there. What can you real briefly explain what you discovered about Eros International?
Well, actually, the company was exposed by at least two anonymous posters on Seeking Alpha last year. And the stock went from 38 down below 6. It recovered to about 16, and it was at about 16 when we stepped into the market with what we provided in addition to what had been provided by the Seeking Alpha posters, one of them called Alpha Exposure, and the other one called the other one was actually a brokerage firm that wasn't anonymous, called Glasser. And this year we have another anonymous poster that came in after us called Spotlight Research, also on Seeking Alpha. And our materials are available on Seeking Alpha as well as on our site. What we focused on was how did this happen? How was this created, and how come it's back up to 16 and not below 1, and perhaps halted by the Securities and Exchange Commission after such a long time and so much meaningful data and reasonable analysis published publicly. Admittedly, it was anonymous, but it pointed to things that should be obvious to the analyst and the Securities and Exchange Commission and others that are charged with governing our markets. That's what drove us into the market. What drove me intellectually was trying to understand how could this happen, because I've been involved in transactions, and 52 of them to be exact, and am a pioneer of this type of of work, and was drawn to it. And what we discovered was that the company had an unusual relationship, an extremely unique and irregular relationship with a brand name called Grant Thornton. And the first thing I did was call Grant Thornton and ask him, look, are you aware that this is going on, and what is your position? When Grant Thornton International told us that they were not responsible for the behavior and conduct of Grant Thornton India, that really raised a red flag to us.
And just to be clear, Grant Thornton is the auditor, correct?
Well, Grant Thornton is the brand name that has been franchised all over the world out of the United Kingdom by some of the partners in the U.S. Grant Thornton that now apparently either live in the U.K. or have offices in the U.S. and the U.K. But the U.K. is the umbrella operation for Grant Thornton, and they have sold franchises all over the world. But unlike McDonald's, it appears that they really have no interest in how their hamburgers taste.
Well, so what is the SEC's role in this, and even some of the other frauds that you've discovered? When something like this is made public, and there are allegations made, does the SEC usually act on it, or do they have to be pushed? I mean, I guess if you can, tell us a little bit about kind of your experience going over the past 20 years as well as what's happening right now with Euros.
Well, the Securities and Exchange Commission has ultimate authority here. The PCAOB, or the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, is controlled by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So the matter of the conduct of Grant Thornton worldwide, in reality, is actually under the supervision of the Securities and Exchange Commission, because that it's rather controversial that a commission, which is actually an agency of the federal government, can reproduce itself. And there's been some litigation at the constitutional level at the Supreme Court about this particular arrangement. But I'm not an expert on that, but I can tell you that in my impression, all of the individuals that are in the directorship positions and governing positions of the PCAOB are controlled by the SEC. So clearly the enforcement division of the Securities and Exchange Commission has the authority to halt trading on Euros, and has the authority to sue Euros, and has the authority to put pressure on Euros to put out disclosures that explain why it is that the things that have been raised by the anonymous posters and readdressed by me and analyzed by me, along with the problems of Grant Thornton and all the other auditing problems and the audit committee problems, and that we have written about, that are facts beyond change. Mm-hmm. It is a fact that the New York Stock Exchange, I believe, has a regulation that you have to have 3 independent directors on the audit committee. Apparently, it applies here. We don't know. We've asked and not gotten a response, but these are only 2 directors. They're men in their 80 years. They're men of 80 years. You broadcast in South Florida. I'm sure that there's a lot of very active and engaged 80-year-olds.
Sure.
I don't believe the 2 80-year-olds on this board are up to the task, and one of them has been exposed by Spotlight of being involved in some of the related party transactions that the company is being accused of engaging in. But clearly, I don't want to talk too long, Mark, but let me just give you the facts. Beyond reason. I think those facts beyond reason, when you talk about human conduct, is always difficult to find facts beyond reason, but the numbers here speak for themselves. They claim that they had sales in the United Arab Emirates in 2012, their calendar 2012, which ends March 31st, for their fiscal year, of $6.3 million. Those sales have risen to $104 million in fiscal 15. Mm-hmm. The company's sales in India have declined from 113.6 to 109.5. Therefore, of the total, therefore the sales in the United Arab Emirates have almost reached the same level of sales that they have in India. And in India, of course, they sell tickets, and they sell the most important and valuable rights, which is the rights to broadcast the films, to syndicate the films on cable channels all over the world for the first years or the first few years. So what's left to sell in the United Arab Emirates, and to whom they're selling it, is the question that the company is stonewalling us and the market with.
Right.
If, in fact, Mark, they've told the SEC things that make the SEC satisfied with those responses, I think the SEC should tell us investors, and I can tell you why I think that.
Well, we only have about a minute left, so let me just ask you, what has been the response from the company, or has there been a response from the company over these allegations?
There's been no response to us, and we've been very active. Grant Thornton India has retained counsel. Counsel is a very influential counsel that is highly regarded and trustworthy. And I'm disappointed that that counsel has not advised the auditor to engage in a dialogue with us, which is their duty. The company has also, and the company's public relations officer on the outside and their investor relations personnel inside, have not spoken to us. Also, the company has hired a lawyer, and we have written them a letter, and the lawyer has been retained to try to understand if there's any manipulation in the market or any misinformation in the market, and we've asked questions of them to make sure that what we understand is correct, and he too has not responded to us.
Gotcha. All right. Unfortunately, we're up against the clock, but we're going to be following this story closely, and we'd love to have you back on again.
Well, it's been wonderful, Mark. I look forward to speaking to you again, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
God bless your listeners in beautiful South Florida.
Thank you very much. That's Manuel Asensio. And if you want to get the full story on Eros International, go to his website, www.asensio.com, A-S-E-N-S-I-O.com, and you can read all of the documents that that Manuel and his team have put together. It's really, really interesting stuff. All right, when we come back, we're going to go over the survey results from last week. This is Oxford Club Radio. I'm Mark Lichtenfeld. Stay with us. Stop wasting my time.
You know what I want. Today, it's hard to tell if this economy is coming or going. Regardless, I want my money going in the direction I choose. If that's your stance as well, then you'll want to know how our sponsor, EverBank, can help keep your money thriving just the way you want. Is growing your money a priority? EverBank is committed to a yield pledge promise to pay high yields on your checking, money market, and CD balances. Looking to diversify? EverBank ingeniously developed accessible ways to spread your money around the world into foreign currencies and even non-FDIC insured metals. And when it comes to your wealth, they bring a highly experienced and global perspective to help you manage it. EverBank's financial philosophy flies in the face of the status quo. They believe your money's performance should not be determined by today's economic circumstances, but by the drive to rise above them and create opportunities that favor your objectives. If that excites you like it does me, visit everbank.com/mlradio to find out what they can do for you. Again, that's everbank.com/mlradio. Visit them today. EverBank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender.
And now, back to Mark Lichtenfeld's Oxford Club Radio.
I wanna be a billionaire, so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
Welcome back to Mark Lichtenfeld's Oxford Club Radio. I'm Mark Lichtenfeld. Great stuff from Manuel Asensio of Asensio.com, and I really, really did enjoy his book. Good stuff. All right, so I want to get into the survey from last week. Last week we talked about whether the stock market at record highs or the bond market at record low yields was... which one was more indicative of the economy right now and the future? And so we ran a poll, and it was a pretty close vote. We got 55% of you who voted said the stock market is the better forecaster of the economy right now, while 45% said the bond market. And there were some interesting comments as well. I'm going to go through a few of them here. Lance says funds are moving into stocks because folks on fixed incomes, retirees, etc., are unable to find yield anywhere else. They are taking on risk. They should not be taking it. Probably will not end well. And that's certainly part of why the stock market is higher, because people can't find yield anywhere else, and they're going into the stock market. It's one of the reasons dividend stocks have been hot and yields have come down, because people are piling into these stocks. Eric says, Mark, while I understand we live in a world economy, the stock market is indicating the strength of the American economy, while the bond market, especially specifically T-bills, are a reflection of uncertainty around the world. That might be a very valid point. Let's see. This one's anonymous. Bonds behaving badly may be an indicator that all is not well with the economy. Another anonymous writer, the handwriting's on the wall. The people just can't believe that it could happen. And I think that's probably the thought of a lot of people who believe that the bond market is the more accurate indicator, because people who are pessimistic or bearish kind of always think that the bulls just aren't seeing clearly or don't believe it could happen, just exactly as the person said. See, another anonymous one. No clear indication from either market right now. Stock and bond prices are both going up as global customers chase safety and income at the same time. Also, very valid, even though the bonds are not paying well, specifically government bonds, they are considered safe. They're the safest investments in the world, and you've got people piling into them. And even overseas where you have negative interest rates, those bonds are considered safe. You know, if you go into German bonds, you know, the Bund, those bonds are considered very safe, and people are getting negative rates on that. You're paying a few basis points for the right to make sure that you get paid, you know, you get your money back essentially minus those few basis points in a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever the case may be. So people definitely want safety. It's very, very, very uncertain times right now. Treasuries are only a small part of the bond market, but seems like the only thing people other than Steve McDonald talk about. Steve McDonald, if you're not familiar, is the Oxford Club's bond expert. This person says, I wouldn't touch a treasury with someone else's private parts. Optimal tool since someone is going to get screwed, but have a significant amount in bonds as suggested in Steve's letter. So what this person is saying is they would not touch treasuries at these low levels of interest, but they do like the corporate bonds that Steve McDonald recommends. Let's see what else we have. Economy is really not that great as indicated by the lower earnings. Yeah, the earnings are not great, but they're not bad either right now. Stock market is artificially inflated by the fact that all 401k, IRA, and SEP money has no other place to go. You know, I don't agree with that, because usually you don't put 401k, IRA, and SEP money in too many other places. You put them in stocks, stock funds, and bond funds, and that's just generally where it goes. There's not a lot of people putting that money into other things. I mean, you could put some of it into a CD even when rates are higher, but most people don't do that. Let's see, and the last one I will get to, I think it's bonds, because free money from the central banks has to be paid for eventually, and I believe bond returns are starting to show that. Now, I can't say stocks are done because the free money keeps supporting them as people search for yield. Just seems like something has to correct here sooner or later, and I think that is what bonds and metals are showing. So thank you to all of you who voted and gave us your comments. And I think we're going to start doing some of these polls a little bit more often. We'll come up with some interesting topics and get your thoughts on those as well. And like I said, if you do want to get in touch with me in another way, you can go to oxfordclubradio.com and click on comment and send us your feedback. I'm sorry, click on contact and send us your feedback. All right, my thanks to Manuel Asensio, Alex Machina, Curtis Daniels, all of you for listening. We will be back same time next week. Until then, I hope your longs go up and your shorts go down. I'm Mark Lichtenfeld.